This week on Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
Toot.
Toot toot.
April.
Toot toot. Toot toot.
Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
Hello and welcome to Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
I'm Brian Morris.
I'm Stacey Kulo.
We're comedians.
And a couple.
And I've never seen Gilmore Girls, one of Stacey's favorite shows.
And I've never seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, one of Brian's favorite shows.
So we're watching both shows together, all 7 seasons, comparing them as we go.
And this week we watched Season 7, Episode 6 of both shows, starting with Gilmore Girls, Go Bulldogs!
As well as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, him!
Him does not have an exclamation point.
It doesn't, but you don't get to be the only one that's cited.
I don't know if you guys will hear this or not. I think sometimes we hear things that you guys can't hear through the mics, but the loud woman who, you know, has been known to lather herself up with lotion naked in front of her window with the loud dogs, she's right outside the window today. She's not usually out there. But
not right outside the window like a vampire or like a creature, but
she's about 10 feet from me. I can see her. She's just out there quietly talking to herself, and it's somehow so loud.
Why is she talking to herself? God, this woman is insane.
I mean, she's probably talking to her dogs, I'm guessing, that aren't supposed to be in that area.
Yeah, I hate
this didn't see the dogs, but I would guess that's why she's out there.
We've talked about her a lot. She's the same woman that, like, she just walks around with her phone blaring music when she walks her dogs. It's like, you don't have headphones? Also, like, the sound quality of music from a phone's speakers is not great.
Well, she's joining us today, so.
She's got a lot of thoughts.
Sorry if you can hear her. If you can't, great. Anything with you? You got any new lotion stories or?
Okay, so I put lotions on my hands today. We did. I just played Dead Space, the remake, all the way through. I'd never played this game before. I never played the original, even though I'm a huge survival horror fan. For some reason, I hadn't played it. Loved it. It was great. If you're into survival horror, I suggest playing this if you haven't. It's so fun, and it was very creepy. Turned all the lights off. I put headphones on. It was great.
Yeah, I was out of town for a week, so I don't really know what you did while I was gone. Sounds like you finished Dead Space.
I did. And I played the Resident Evil 4 remake demo. I'm excited about remakes, I guess.
Did you watch any Sandra Bullock movies?
I did not. I did not. I did watch a little bit of the movie Baywatch.
Oh.
But I had to abandon it because I did not enjoy it.
Oh, I see. I was home with family. My sister had a baby, so I went to meet the baby. She's very cute. She's very little. She just like slept in my arms a bunch. Oh. She'll be a whole different person next time I see her, probably. Because they grow so fast. And we gave my parents a Roku, got them all set up with streaming. They were paying way too much for cable, so we straightened that out. Parents are, they have a hard time with technology. Do yours? It's so strange. They've been using computers probably longer than I have, and they somehow just don't know what's going on at all.
Yeah.
Like, my mom didn't know how to attach a picture to an email from her phone.
That's funny.
And my dad doesn't have a smartphone. He's got a flip phone, but he's thinking he wants a smartphone now. But he's like looking at ones that do flip, like some of the Samsung ones you can fold in half. But I'm like, do you want that because you like it smaller? You don't want the bigger phone? Or do you just think that's closer to what you already have?
Right, right.
Oh, parents.
My mom told me that my dad, when she goes to bed, he just stays up sitting in a chair watching women's wrestling on his phone. Okay.
Okay.
That's just what's happening.
But she knows about it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's creepy or like in any way exciting for him, if that makes sense.
Is this like very like high school wrestling, just standard? Is this like MMA? Is this like China Doll?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But he's into it. I don't know why, but he is. I guess I could ask him, but it's a conversation I don't really want to start.
No, no.
But my mom is totally fine with it. Like, it didn't bother her at all, so I'm guessing it's not gross or something.
Well, what does she go upstairs and watch?
She watches women's wrestling, so.
What are your parents up to, everybody?
I mean, my mom watches airplanes take off. That's like her thing. I don't know. At some point you get old and you find something weird and you watch a lot of it.
Well, we do have some 5-star reviews. We have a lot, actually. Last time we told people they could leave them in unconventional ways, and they listened. We had another person just leave a comment on TikTok and say, here's your 5-star review. So thank you so much to Samantha Troy.
Thank you.
And Facebook. We had like 3 people review us on Facebook. I feel like our Facebook is growing a bit because we started posting our Instagram reels directly to Facebook. So shout out to Zuckerberg. Your algorithms are in our favor right now. Are we allowed to shout out Zuckerberg? I don't know where we stand.
Why shout him out? Yeah, he needs publicity right now.
He listens to our podcast. If he left us a 5-star review, we'd have to shout him out.
Yeah. Zuck, buddy, we know you're a big fan of us and these two shows.
And growing your monopoly.
Please, leave us a 5-star. Of course, just one of our regular people could just do that and say they were Mark Zuckerberg.
Right. But the real people that did leave us reviews on Facebook, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Jessica Shook, Susie Bill, and Rhonda Lynn. And then we did get some 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you so much to PhD in Garbage. Thank you to Lizard Breath 98. She is the younger sister of recent 5-star reviewer, A Little Bit of Mun. And apparently Lizard Breath, the younger sister, is the taller one.
That's impossible.
I know.
Do they point that out all the time?
They didn't go into that, but certainly they should.
That's what you're supposed
to
do.
No one will know how old they are.
Yeah. I suspect that she's actually just a ball of energy.
Shout out also to Green Boss Nova, who wants us to shout out their daughters, Cambria and Mariona. Green Boss Nova said that they wrote a 5-star review a long time ago, and they just now realized that we only shout out Apple Podcasts once. I'm curious to know where you wrote this, Green Boss Nova.
Yeah.
Like we thank you. I'm just curious if there's another place where people are actually writing reviews that we are not seeing. Because we don't get any kind of, like, notification from the internet when a 5-star review is left somewhere.
No, but I will wake up in a sweat. I'll just be like, there's a new one.
I just know that Apple Podcasts and Spotify are the two most commonly used platforms to listen to our podcast. And I know that Apple Podcasts has a review function and Spotify does not. So I just check Apple Podcasts whenever we record to see who's left a review. We don't get any kind of mail when it happens. So if there's a place where reviews are being left that we're not aware of, let us know. Send me a DM or a email, Green Boss Nova, or anyone else. And lastly, thank you to KSK31. They say, thank you for keeping me company and giving me a taste of home with the Midwestern accents. Do we have Midwestern accents, Brian?
I guess so.
I thought we shut that shit down.
Bag, bagel, Chicago.
I think it sneaks out, but I was just there, and I don't think we sound like they do. So I mentioned I briefly had a restaurant job here in New York, like a few weeks ago, just for like a couple weeks, and I decided I didn't want to work at restaurants. But there was one day where this guy came in. He said like one sentence. I don't remember what he said. And I was like, where are you from? And he said, Wisconsin. And I said, I know. Like, his accent was just so thick. And turns out he's from, like, the city closest to the city I grew up. Like, if you're driving down the interstate, the exit from my town is the same exit for his town. That's pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
He was in town for work, but, like, that's crazy that I, like, pinpoint his accent from home so hard.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to all the 5-star reviewers. You really turned out this week. Keep it coming. It's nice.
Thanks so much. I do have one more update. I've started wearing gloves to bed.
Gosh. This was a development when I got back from my trip. I was like, what?
Okay, because I've had this rash. You're supposed to put this lotion on when you go to bed, but then you got to put gloves on so you don't like put the lotion in your eye or get it on your pillowcase. And just some advice for you. If you're ever like, how can I get absolutely roasted by my partner? And the answer is wear some white cotton gloves to bed.
Do you ever wonder what it's like to sleep with an M&M? I could tell you.
I like to go by Mime or Mickey Mouse.
Or like the little magic to do kids in Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, just imagine you're in bed and then your partner just says this shit for like an hour to you.
They're not like latex gloves like he was wearing during the podcast last time, unbeknownst to me. They're like white jazz hands gloves.
I'm just going to let my condition get worse because I cannot get roasted this hard anymore.
It's like, what is happening to you? I leave for a week.
Babe, I'm trying to sleep.
And you got night gloves?
Things change when you're gone. People grow.
All right. This week we started with Gilmore Girls. Brian, tell us about Go Bulldogs.
Oh my God, this episode is about Suki cheating on Jackson. All right, here we go.
I mean, maybe.
This episode is about Lorelai and Christopher going to visit their daughter at Yale for Parents Weekend. The episode opens with a really fun phone call. Lorelai calls Emily, and Emily picks up the phone. However, Lorelai acts as if Emily didn't pick up the phone and she just got her machine. And she leaves Emily a voicemail, I'm doing quotations here, about how she can't make it to Emily's tonight to, like, view her new curtains. I guess she agreed to do that. While the whole time Emily's like, Lorelai, I'm here. I'm on the phone. I can hear you. Can you not hear me? Lorelai. But Lorelai keeps pretending that she's got the voicemail, and then she hangs up and then ignores Emily when she calls back. It's kind of funny. It's kind of mean. It's kind of funny. She actually just wants to spend time with Chris.
I loved how desperate Emily was.
Yeah.
Lorelai. She's like flapping her arms.
But did she like agree to go to Emily's? Because then it's mean.
I don't know. It could have just been that Emily called to invite her to. And she never agreed to it. I didn't take it like she was backing out necessarily.
Lorelai and Christopher are preparing for their trip to France. Remember, they decided they were going to go to France with Gigi. And Lorelai is very, very, very half-heartedly learning some French phrases. She's just like playing one of those tapes that's like, you know, it says something in French and then says what it is in English. But then she's just saying the English part with like a bad French accent. She's doing all this while she's like going through her mail. And Chris notices a letter about Parents Weekend at Yale and convinces Lorelai that they should go. Rory is very, very busy that day. But via phone call, she says that she can probably squeeze in a lunch with them. So they're going to go. Lorelai, again, didn't want to go, but Chris talks her into it. Makes it sound romantic.
There's some funny stuff in here. Lorelai says she can't go because she's got to wash her hair because she's got, like, shampoo samples in the mail. And Christopher, like, tells her he'll wash her hair for her and
French braid it.
Heightens it to braiding it. That was funny. But also, there's this whole thing where Lorelai says she's got, like, this complicated backstory about being, like, a French girl that was adopted and Emily and Richard wouldn't let her speak French. Like, that's how she's going to justify why she speaks this way in France.
Yeah.
None of that was super funny to me. But then when Rory calls, Lorelai speaks in the accent, and Rory's like, oh, it's a little French girl. Like, she knows this backstory, so this is, like, clearly something Lorelai's discussed with Rory before.
Well, Lorelai's done, like, a backstory about a French woman before with the candles.
Yeah. Not candles, jam.
You're right. It was jam. We just used candles in our TikTok.
That's true. We reenacted the scene with
candles. That's why I thought it was candles. Lorelai is a lot in this episode. I mean, I feel like this season they're like just turning her up to 11.
It's weird. I don't know if it's like intentional
quirkiness.
For some reason.
I don't know. It's almost like maybe she needs to be with someone like Luke who will like not encourage her to do this. Like, yeah, she's got great chemistry with Chris, but it's like, but you need someone to dial you back down.
I wonder if it's like because Christopher isn't as developed. Like, he doesn't have as much of his own story.
Yeah.
So they kind of just have to like give her nonsense things to say for him to, like, bounce off of.
Yeah. I mean, she's always done this. It's been a thing. But, like, I just feel like it's so much more than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. It feels like that, like, Mad TV sketch of Gilmore Girls. I don't know if you've ever seen that. You probably have, but maybe not since you've seen the show. But it just sort of, like, parodies the way they talk a bit.
This episode is also doing a lot more with, like, Luke and April. We're getting so much more of that this season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a couple of little, like, slice of lives with them. Like, he's preparing lunch for her, and she's going to school. Again, he's watching her while Anna is, like, taking care of her mother's convalescence. And I really like this, because I think, like, Luke and April are great together. But at the diner, Kirk is there, and we have, like, a D storyline with Kirk. It's, like, so minor. Kirk tells Luke that Lulu is suffocating him. She's just always with him. He keeps saying, I go to the movies. Who's sitting next to me? Lulu. I go to dinner. Who's sitting across from me? Lulu. I'm watching TV at home. Who's sitting next to me? And then Luke's like, your mother. And Kirk's like, yeah, but also Lulu. That was funny. I want to point out that he says when he goes on a date with Lulu, she's sitting across from him. More on that later.
Which is where you should sit on a date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's weird that April's calling Luke dad?
I don't know.
I think it's weird. It just seems fast, but like...
He's her dad.
He is her dad. It's not like she's got another father figure either, I guess.
Yeah, that doesn't seem weird to me at all. I could see it being weird for her to like, oh yeah, you're dad. It's weird to call someone dad, but like...
I think she did call him Luke for a few episodes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't bother me. Well, they're getting along really well, and I like it. I think their chemistry for father-daughter is great.
Yeah.
Like, I know people don't like April, and I get it because the last season it was like kind of a mess, the whole storyline. But I do think this season we're seeing storylines with them that I just really buy. And it's nice to see Luke like care about somebody. Like, he cares about Rory and he cares about Lorelai, but I feel like we never seen him like in an actual realistic fatherly role. Like
Jess?
There was with Jess, but like Jess was more adult.
Yeah.
And so like, yes, he was fatherly to Jess, but it was different. And it was like two men who were like not particularly emotionally vulnerable. So like they're not communicating very well. So I don't know. I really like this.
I think most people don't dislike April herself. Mm-hmm. I think the character is great. I think she plays her well.
Yeah.
I think it's just like what April did for the show that people despise.
Well, I really like their relationship. And I like how she's like trying to make him happy too by finding him someone to be with. Like she pushed for him to go on a date with one of her teachers in the previous episode. And in this episode, she seems like she's doesn't push it, but is excited maybe a little bit that he's going on a date. More on that later. Luke goes to pick her up from swim practice and strikes up a conversation with the swim coach. She finds out that he doesn't know how to swim. He does know how to like doggy paddle so he could like get to shore if he fell off a boat, but he never learned how to swim, which is insane to me. I feel like that's just like the writers are like, in this episode, let's just pick a thing that Luke never learned to do that normal people do.
Yeah, I want to say it's maybe even like a contradiction. Like they've said in the past he can swim. I know there's an episode where Lorelai says she's like seen him at the beach with his shirt off.
I mean, which you could do without swimming.
That doesn't mean he's swimming. But I
want to say like he was on a swim team or something.
He was a runner. I want to say there is like a scene though where it directly contradicts this.
There was that scene where Lorelai's drowning and he jumps in the water and saves her.
No.
No, that didn't happen.
That was like a wading pool for learning how to fish.
That's when she was seeing Alex. Remember Alex for like 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like Luke's like a survivalist, and it seems to me that he would be like, yeah, I got to learn to swim because I might need to swim to survive.
I can't believe you remember Alex's name.
Yeah, I know. That's a little crazy. Well, anyway, he doesn't know how to swim, and she's all like, you should come to my adult swim class, you know, for April's sake, because you might have to rescue her, I guess. So he's like, all right, I'll do it.
April's like, do you even own a bathing suit? And he's like, yeah, but it's not a Speedo or anything. And April just thinks that's hilarious. Maybe just because it's like uncomfortable that her dad's talking about a Speedo.
Sure. So Luke goes to her class. He takes it. And she is very forward and flirty with him in this class. Like, she goes and, like, helps him with his breathing in a very touchy way.
She's a real creep, honestly.
Yeah, dude, she really is. Could you imagine if a dude was doing this? She comes up to him and, like, puts her hand on his chest in a way that's very intimate. In fact, like, another dude sees this and gets jealous and is like, I'm having a little trouble with my deep breathing over here. She's like, you're fine.
No, you're not.
You're fine. Yeah, and she's not subtle.
Thirsty.
Yeah, she is. She's in so much water, but she's got so much thirst.
I know.
And she like follows Luke out of the pool in this like, she's just like a little water trot behind him. And she's all like, hey, why don't you give me your number and then you call me and take me to dinner.
She so asks like, him okay. out before they're even out of the pool.
I know.
Within earshot of everyone.
Yeah, I know. So he's all like, oh, okay, sure. I don't know if he actually wants to be with her at this point. I'm not sure if he's, like, actually interested. But later, back at his diner, Kirk is there, and he's all like, I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to break up with Lulu so I can be free like you. No one cares what you do. You do what you want to do. And Luke tells Kirk right away, like, you're being an idiot. You should not break up with Lulu. You should be, like, kissing the ground this girl walks on and be grateful that she wants you for some reason I cannot understand.
No one else 100%
true.
Ever yeah. want you.
Yeah.
I love when he asks Luke if he wants to grab a cold one and bird dog some chicas.
Yeah, I'm not going to Google that.
I think it just means, I did Google it. It just means like, look around for.
Mm. I wonder though, if Kirk's commentary didn't like push Luke to go on this date.
Yeah, I think so.
It's never like said, and he doesn't have a moment where he like stares out the window and thinks, you know, like Lorelai would do in other scenes. But it makes me feel like he's thinking like, oh, yeah, I guess no one cares. I should maybe go on a date.
Yeah, because at the end of the scene, he grabs a piece of paper. And that could have just been like diner busy work. But I wondered if that was like the woman's number.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really show it or tell us what that was. So that's what I'm guessing.
Well, they go out and she takes him to a vegan restaurant, which is, you know, red flag city for him already. There's a pretty funny line. She's like, oh, if you have like a soy steak, you won't even be able to tell the difference between that and a regular steak. And Luke's like, yeah, I think I will. I'm just like, yeah, you could say it's good, but who's pretending you won't be able to tell the difference? But then it becomes clear that she's actually psycho. Like, she immediately wants to sit on the same side as him.
Well, the other people they're sitting next to are also sitting on the same side as each other. Apparently, that's the rules at this restaurant.
I guess so. No meat, and you sit next to somebody. But, like, that's just, like, not fun. Like, if you're at a stage of your relationship where you're, like, gotta be groping each other constantly, I guess. But when it's like date one, it's like, I want to sit across from you and be able to talk to you.
Yeah. I think Rory did that when she went on the date with that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just easier for TV or something. But in this episode, probably, they like made it a point.
Luke should have been like, there's a draft. I gotta go.
Yeah.
You can always tell when someone's a mess when they immediately start talking about how their ex or exes were psycho.
Yeah, who brings up their ex on a first date?
Yeah, she's like bringing up this like, oh, he was a mess. And I'm like, okay, well, that was he? Because you're saying it immediately. It makes me feel like maybe you're the mess.
I also think it's a little weird that Luke, as a diner owner, doesn't know what vegan means.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe this was like before being vegan like really took off.
Does Luke just like sit in a cave when he's not on screen and he has no experiences? Like,
we kind of called out the fact that he didn't know that mayo isn't actually dairy.
Yeah.
But I guess he doesn't pay attention to food restrictions at all.
He doesn't like any of the people that come to his diner. So I forgot to mention this. Before he goes on the date, he has Lane over to babysit April. It's kind of funny because April is like destroying Lane in chess and Lane wants to play Boggle because she's like studied a bunch of big words for Boggle. And April like just straight up tells Lane like, yeah, you're not good at chess. And then is like, I'm sorry, I'm very blunt. I like that running bit about her, how she's too blunt.
Yeah. Your family fucking loves Boggle.
Boggle's fun.
It is. I'm usually so good at games, but your family's like intense about it.
Yeah.
I never win.
You win at Catan every time you play with your family, so there's that.
It's not the same. I want to beat your family. Also, April could watch herself. She's like 12 or 13.
Yeah, and very responsible.
Like, Lane falls asleep.
Yeah, and Luke doesn't care.
Yeah. You can, like, stay home alone when you're 10, legally, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's just trying to be a good dad and, yeah, like, honor what he said to Anna about taking care of his daughter.
I liked them hanging out, though. It was cute. Lane, yeah, and April.
And they get along. April, like, loves Lane.
Yeah, and Lane was, like, fun in this. It was, like, a different side of Lane.
Yeah. At the end, Michelle is very disappointed to find out that Suki is going to be the one who's actually in charge while Lorelai is away in Paris. He was planning on being a terrible boss and making everyone call him Captain, which would have been fun.
Yeah.
But also a new vegetable supplier shows up with a sample basket of vegetables for Suki. Suki, of course, tells him, I've already got a supplier. I don't need this. But the guy's like, well, just take it anyway. Try it out. And maybe if you like it, you could pass on my name to somebody else who might need it. And of course, as you might expect, these vegetables are super good. Now Suki's having like a guilt anxiety attack because she really likes these vegetables. Not because they're better than Jackson's, she points out, just because they're different. And now she feels guilty for like, quote unquote, like cheating on Jackson by cooking with these vegetables. She tries venting to Michelle, and Michelle doesn't want to hear any of it, but agrees to listen if she calls him Captain. But then like 2 minutes later, he's like, no, I just can't. This is not worth my time. Walks yeah. away.
I love that scene starts with her just like muttering to herself while Michelle walks through. I'm making ratatouille anyway. It's like, what are you talking about?
Well, maybe she's like our neighbor. She just talks to nobody.
Yeah. I was making ratatouille anyway, as if like he had just accused her.
Yeah. And then she keeps saying, it's just ratatouille. It's just ratatouille. More on that later. At Yale, Chris and Lorelai arrive for parents' weekend and meet the most chipper student worker on the planet. I want whatever she's taking. She is, like, so excited.
Ivy League acceptance, baby.
Yeah. Like, Lorelai's like, are you real? Are you an actor? She gives them an event schedule. There's a running joke this episode that there are a lot of a cappella groups on campus during the weekend, and Lorelai wants to avoid them at all costs.
I love college a cappella groups. Controversial take.
It sounds like you just love controversial takes about a cappella groups.
No, the college in the next town over when I went to college had a bunch of them, and they had like a big concert every year, and I would go. I knew a friend that went to that school.
Lorelai and Christopher, I just have Lore written down. I don't know, Christopher's starting to turn me into call her just Lore.
I guess.
Lore and Chris meet some very proud Yale parents who have heard of Rory because she's, you know, in charge of the newspaper. And these parents immediately start networking hard. They're like, oh, you know, my son wants to be a journalist. We should have them meet Rory. It's funny because the mom turns to the dad's like, you don't have to keep networking like this. Like, calm down. And then she immediately starts doing the same thing to Lorelai when they like go to a different section of the brunch. But then the parents all start bonding over how much work it's been preparing their kids throughout their academic careers to get them into Yale. You know, like helping them with science projects, helping them with their homework, all this stuff. They're all bonding over, you know, all the work they put into getting their kids here.
This other dad pops over and starts adding some stuff too. And I thought they were going to start singing. It was just so like, and you know what it's like to be a dad?
Being just, a dad.
It just, I was like, well, who's this guy?
It's funny. Chris just smiles and nods. You can tell something is wrong. And I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. And he says this later that he realizes that he did not do any of this shit.
We should also point out that they have put name tags on.
Yes.
And Lorelai wanted to do a bit where they just did like silly names, which is kind of a whatever joke.
Of course she did.
But Christopher has put in the name tag right in the middle of his chest, which is also a choice. He's written, "Hello, I'm Rory Gilmore's dad, Christopher." Just like a lot of information.
Yeah, Lorelai calls him out for the placement of it because it's right in the center of his chest. She's like, "Who wears a name tag in the center of their chest?" And he's like, "Well, Superman."
And she's like, "Yeah, well, that's like an emblem." He's like, "Well, this is my emblem."
He's not feeling like a super dad right now, though, when he's hearing all this stuff from these parents. He's feeling like, "Oh, I didn't do any of this stuff. I was a terrible absentee father." What's also funny is somebody comes up and they're like, "We were just talking to your wife." And Lorelai's like, "Oh, well, I'm not his wife." She's like, "No, no, his wife, Mrs. Gilmore." And motions over to Emily, who's talking to a gaggle of mothers. Both Emily and Lorelai are surprised that the other one is there. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit at length. Emily and Richard are both there. And they're maybe suggesting that they're the parents. Because it just says, like, Mr. Gilmore, Mrs. Gilmore on their name tags. They're grandparents. This isn't Grandparents Weekend, which Lorelai points out. Emily is like, "Why are you here?" And Lorelai's like, "Well, of course I'm here. I'm Rory's mom. Why are you here? You're not her mom." But Emily goes on to be like, "Well, I thought not in a million years would you ever come to this. This is not your kind of thing. This is the sort of thing you would make fun of. I would never expect you to come to this." Lorelai acts shocked or like offended by all of this. She's like, "I'm not mocking any of this. I'm here for Parents Weekend." But I have to say, Emily's right about all of this. Like, Lorelai did not want to go to this. She probably wouldn't have even read that mail. But she definitely wasn't going to come. She had to be convinced pretty heavily by Christopher to come to this. And even though she did come, she still was, like, 2 seconds ago making fun of everything.
Yeah, I agree that Emily is right. Lorelai would have never come to this. I do think it's weird that Emily and Richard are there, though.
Sure. And we'll talk about that in a second. But, like, Lorelai acts hurt. Like, what? How could you think those things? It's like, lady, you were just making fun of everything here.
Yeah, I hear that.
But then the question is, like, is it weird that Emily and Richard are there? Because they are kind of, it seems like, masquerading as parents.
Yeah, it's unclear if they're actually doing that. I just feel like there's so many ways for them to be supportive of Rory and co to Yale events. But this is, like, a very specific event for a specific group of people that they are not.
I agree with you, but I would say the following. I would say, number one, you know, in a lot of ways, Rory is a daughter to them. Like, she's sort of the daughter they wanted Lorelai to be.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're not taking spots from somebody else because, I mean, these are spots for Christopher and Lorelai, and they generally don't come. Also, Yale's got money. Yale can handle two people.
But, like, are they even invited? Did they get the invitation?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, Richard would know all about it because he's, like, teaching there.
Yeah.
It just but also, like, there's that. He's teaching there. Like, they went there. It's not crazy to me that they could find an excuse to go. I feel like we would do something like this.
Go to a random parents' weekend?
No, I mean, like, if it meant something to us.
Sure.
And it was like, who are we hurting by going? That's the question. Like, who are you hurting by going?
The other weird thing about it is that apparently they go every year.
Yeah.
Which Rory knows. And Rory never mentioned this to Lorelai.
Yeah, that's weird that she never mentioned that, especially when she knew her parents were coming.
Mm-hmm. I think as soon as she heard that they were coming, she should have been like, heads up, Grandma and Grandpa do always come.
Absolutely. So I will say that, like, it's weird that Emily and Richard are there in a sense, but I don't know that it's wrong. I don't think they're, like I said, they're not hurting anyone. There's no victim. And it means a lot to them. So it didn't bother me.
I would argue it might hurt Lorelai's reputation. Like, if someone's like, why are you here and not Rory's actual mother? Then what's the answer? Like, oh, she just doesn't like these kind of things. Like, that kind of makes Lorelai look bad.
I mean, one, that's true, though.
Yes.
And two, like, I don't know if anyone is asking that question.
I'm not actually that upset about any of this. I just think it's a little weird that they're there. And it's mostly weird that Rory doesn't ever mention it.
Yeah. Lorelai also finds out that Rory is going out to dinner with Richard and Emily that night to a fancy French restaurant, which Rory did not tell her. Lorelai hears this and is like, well, I guess I'll one-up my parents and I will take Rory to the same restaurant for lunch, which is just, like, so petty.
Yeah.
It's just so petty. Like, I get that Emily is a lot and Richard's a lot and is they're often the villains, but this just seems so, just take her somewhere else. Like, why? You're ruining it for Rory, too.
Yeah, she doesn't want to go to the same place twice, probably.
Yeah. It might be embarrassing to be like, oh, the same staff sees me here twice.
Mm-hmm.
So Christopher is, like, kind of into Yale. Like, he's excited about some of these lectures and Lorelai's not. And actually, it's annoying to me that Lorelai doesn't pick up on the fact that, like, Christopher, like, isn't into her jokes right now.
Right.
She's like joking and mocking everything, and Christopher's like trying to listen during a lecture. Lorelai's being like crazy rude. She like is calling the restaurant in the lecture at Yale to get reservations for them. It's like, step outside. Like, what are you doing? You're being so goddamn rude right now. And like her constant joking is like, just, it's clear Christopher isn't in on this. I thought you were like super emotionally intelligent.
Is she joking here? I think she's more just like venting about how she's annoyed that Rory didn't tell her about the parents being there.
Well, yeah, but then she picks her phone out and she's going to like call.
Right. But before that, I don't know if she's joking. She's just like.
Well, she's been joking the whole time they're there.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Christopher loves it as much as she does, because I think he wants to be a hokey dad that goes to this stuff.
Yeah.
At this lecture, Christopher's like super engaged in what the speaker's saying. And then Lorelai is just like suddenly super impressed when Christopher asks an intelligent question about the universal constant. This is funny to me because it's so weird to see Christopher so engaged and like intelligently asking questions about this. When like last season he came to Yale and just like stopped in the door of a class and just openly mocked a teacher for being boring.
I know. That was economics. He likes science.
Yeah, I guess. Like, when did Christopher get smart? That was, like, bothering me.
Yeah, I mean, he theoretically should be smart. Like, he went to, like, prep schools, and I think he was supposed to go to a good college. I don't know if he did or not.
I mean, I get science, in my opinion, especially, like, physics and stuff, is way more interesting than economics, for me personally. But it's just so funny that he's, like, so engaged. And, like, last season, he's like, this boring-ass teacher needs to shut his mouth.
Yeah.
I'm in the doorway. Everyone can see and hear me. I'm Christopher. I'm hot and dumb. Lorelai and Christopher surprise Rory at the newspaper. They sit in the back and kind of watch her do her magic while she's in boss mode, like telling people what they need to rewrite and what they did wrong and need to fix. Lorelai's a little mad at Rory that she didn't mention that she had dinner plans with the grandparents. This scene is also funny because Paris is like low-key bragging about her stories keep making the front page, even though she's rarely around and is putting in minimal effort. It's kind of a very quick little storyline, but it's funny.
Yeah. I love when Rory's like, don't be mad at me. Yeah. Lorelai's like, okay. I mean, I don't know that I love that, but it was kind of cute. But
yeah,
that's kind of Rory's MO. I'm Rory, though.
Yeah.
Love me.
It's like you're saying it to the audience. I know I've done some dumb stuff, but love me.
Yeah.
There's a fun line, too, where Christopher says that the creme brulee at this French restaurant is to die for. And Rory's like, since when do you start saying stuff like to die for? And Lorelai's like, since you started watching Project Runway. And then Christopher's like, make it work.
I haven't ever seen Project Runway. I know that's like a Tim Gunn phrase, but I feel like he does like corny dad stuff like that a lot.
Yeah.
Like in the last episode when he was doing his stepsister voice.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They just like give him little jokes like that every once in a while. It's fun.
Wicked stepsister voice. Just so everyone knows, there's not a voice for just stepsisters.
Right.
I'm a stepsister, but I'm good. Rory then introduces the staff to her parents, and they're all impressed that Chris and Lorelai are taking her to such a fancy restaurant. They're all envious. They love this restaurant. They've either been one time or only heard about it. Apparently, they match your napkins to what you are wearing. That's crazy.
That can't be true.
And then Christopher just, like, invites everyone. He's like, you should all come to this restaurant with us for lunch. And they're all, like, super pumped about this.
He must just, like, assume these are Rory's friends.
I don't know why he wouldn't, though, because, like, she works with them all the time, and she introduces them to him.
Yeah.
And, like, when I worked on newspapers, I was friends with not every single person, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it would be weird to be like, Rory, pick out your friends and have them come.
But there probably was one of those people you worked with that you wouldn't have wanted to come, right?
Yeah, sure, sure. But they probably would have known and not come. At the restaurant, Lorelai's being season 7 Lorelai, meaning she's being so much. The waiter says something to her in English, and she's like, isn't all the staff here supposed to be French? And so he says some stuff to her in French. And then she just, like, looks at him dumbfounded and then, like, speaks in her French accent. And he does not like it. And I'm like, I'm on your team, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought this was dumb too, man. I'm glad the show's pointing that out. Chris is trying pretty hard here. He is trying to be a big shot. He's trying to be cool dad. He's trying to make up for not having done enough for Rory throughout her lifetime. He buys everyone drinks and starts inviting them all on a ski trip at some cabin he's going to buy.
Again, these aren't her friends, Christopher.
Yeah. Like, he's known them for zero time, and he's like, you should come up for a weekend, everybody. It's clear to us that Rory works with these people, but they are not friends, except for, I guess, Paris.
Yeah. Like, Rory and Lorelai kind of discuss privately that this is weird, and Chris is trying too hard.
Yeah. But Rory does say it is sweet. Like, you know, he's obviously got good intentions. He's just being a hokey dad right now. Everyone orders that creme brulee that's supposed to be great and a cognac. I want to say a couple things real quick here, though, that everyone has, like, wine.
And we hear them order another bottle of wine.
Yeah. And I guess it's suggested that they've had some wine, but, like, everyone's glass is almost full, or at least half full. This is important, though, for the plot. I can't imagine that they've had that much to drink.
Right.
Like, how much would you drink at a meal? Like, I can't imagine having more than two glasses during a meal.
At lunch.
Yeah, at lunch. I could see a meal that stretches on past dessert, like this, you know, the cognac that's coming up. Then you have three, maybe, or you hang out a little bit later and have another one. But while I'm eating, I can't throw back more than two wines.
Right.
Everyone's cell phone goes off. There's breaking news. Some war-protesting students have taken over the college president's office, and they're all wearing President Bush and Condoleezza Rice masks. And now this is very likely going to be their front page story. So they've got to go type this up, get some interviews, get some quotes, and, you know, rearrange the whole paper. Problem now is that everyone's tipsy or drunk. And so Rory's kind of annoyed.
We only find that out because they tell us, though.
Yeah. Well,
we
one girl says, like,
drunk.
I'm a little tipsy. Yeah, they all seem totally fine, especially Bill. I want to point that out for later. He seems totally fine.
But it becomes a huge plot point that they're all, like, wasted and can't work.
Yeah, they're all drunk and, like, passing out or, like, super hungover later.
I think we needed to see that, like, passage of time a bit more for this to really work better.
Or see, like, some empty glasses and have someone, like, finishing one, like, woof, that was great. This wine here is fantastic. But we just see them with, like, full wine glasses and they all seem normal.
Yeah.
Until the girl tells us she's tipsy. But then again, also, like, who's getting this wasted during a lunch? So Rory's annoyed now that her life's going to be a little harder because her staff's drunk and she's got to get this paper out. She's not drunk, though, so I guess everyone else was drinking, but not her. And she says, thanks, Dad, in a way that's like, I'm actually a little pissed at you, Dad.
And then a million creme brulees come out.
Yeah, a million creme brulees come out.
Oh, man.
But I was thinking that if anyone could slam all these, it's Lorelai, right? Remember at the wedding, she had a whole tray of shots that she did. And you've seen her eat when she had, just put a movie on, she will eat all these creme brulees.
I was like, just give them 2 minutes, Rory. They can slam these creme brulees.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, right? She's like, we gotta go now. I'm like, you can go in 2 minutes. Nothing's gonna change.
Yeah. Like, that's just a bunch of wasted food. Or like, get them to go real quick. I don't know. Creme brulee to go is hard.
I agree. But I feel like she could have waited. Or she could have been like, all right, I'm going. Paris, you're coming with me. We're gonna get the, you know, things started. You guys can finish your creme brulees. Back at the inn, the staff is telling Suki that this ratatouille she made with these new vegetables is amazing, maybe her best yet, you know, which is making her feel like shit. She kind of hates all that. Then Jackson shows up for their date night.
Wait. One of the other chefs asked Michelle what he thinks. He's like, what do you think, Captain?
Yeah.
They're all calling him Captain.
Right. Even though Suki's in charge, they're calling him Captain now. Then Jackson shows up for their date night, and he has a little monologue about how his feet smell all the time, and his babysitters give him shit for that.
It's true. It's what it's about.
Yeah. He also is like, oh, that ratatouille smells great. And he goes to eat it, and Suki's like, no, that was a mistake. That's for the horses. And then she, like, throws in the sink, like, I'm throwing it away. Don't touch it. We're leaving. We're going on a romantic date night now.
This all felt a little anticlimactic. Like, I wanted there to be more of a jealousy thing. I wonder if
they'll,
like, go somewhere with this. I can't remember if this storyline comes back.
I was wondering that. So, like, my thoughts are, I hope we do more with this. Because right now, it was like a B storyline that did not need to be there.
Yeah.
Because they did nothing with it. Her, like, guilt. And, like, they sort of map it onto cheating, right? It's she kind of like she's cheating on Jackson by using other people's vegetables. But, like, that's... Like, he doesn't, like, confront her about it. She deals with the guilt for, like, a scene and a half.
And I could see it going either way, where she thinks Jackson will be jealous. And he's like, what are you talking about? I love you.
Yeah.
Or he, like, actually is super jealous. I could see that, too. But maybe it'll go there. I can't remember if we see more of this. But it felt not done.
It felt like half a storyline. I was like, let's do more with this. Like, have him taste the ratatouille and be like, wait, that's not my eggplant. Is there eggplant ratatouille? I don't know.
I think so.
Okay, then yeah. I'm smart.
Know, actually.
I'm a smart boy.
But yeah, it felt not done, but it also doesn't feel like important enough to carry it through to another episode.
Right.
I guess we'll see.
Well, maybe the horses eat that ratatouille and die and it's like a big thing at the end.
Brian hates the horses.
I like horses.
Not these ones.
No, I like horses, but only palfrey horses.
Is that what palfrey means?
Yeah, it's a small horse that ladies ride.
It's one of Lane's Boggle propositions.
Words, yeah. Luke gets home from his date, looks over the square, and sees that Kirk is still with Lulu. Kirk kind of gives him, like, a little nod, like, yep, we're still together. Thanks for the advice.
I'm unhappy, though.
Luke goes home to see that, like you mentioned earlier, Elaine is asleep. Who cares, though? Like, I mean, she's just sort of there. So he did his diligence as a father. Luke tells April that Coach Bennett is going to remain Coach Bennett. They're not going to be any closer than that. And April says, that's okay. I think indicating that she was kind of hoping it was going to be more than that, you know, hoping he'd spark. She just wants him to date any of her teachers, I think. Mm-hmm. She then gives him her and Lane's leftover pizza and sticky buns. And it's really sweet. I mentioned this earlier, but like, their relationship's great. I just think they're great together. They have really good father-daughter chemistry, and yeah. I'm here for it.
She like sits right next to him on the couch, and they watch America's Next Top Model together.
Yeah. Finally, back at Yale, some time has passed, and Lorelai and Christopher have gone to a Bulldogs game, which Lorelai thought was super violent, which I don't know how you're surprised by that.
It's a rugby game. The mascot's the Bulldogs. It's not a Bulldog fighting sport.
It wasn't Bulldogs fighting?
No.
I assume they went to a Bulldog fight.
It was rugby.
Lorelai checks in with Rory to find out that her staff is drunk and she's going to have to be there all night. Now Christopher feels super guilt-ridden and he feels like such an asshole that he did all this when he was just trying to do the right thing. And this is where he tells us, essentially, that all those parents talking made him feel guilty about not being a present father for Rory growing up. And then Lorelai, like, cheers him up, talking to him about all the good things he can do for Rory now and promises that Rory will have a lot of problems coming up that she'll need help with. And I thought this scene was actually nice because Lorelai has been annoying me all episode. But like here she kicks into like the Lorelai we know who's like super emotionally intelligent and knows exactly what to say to Christopher. This is where I felt their chemistry again. She's being a little funny, but like she's using her humor to like cheer him up. And I liked it. I liked the scene. They also walked past an a cappella group that's singing. I don't care about that, but they do.
These are the actual Whiff and Poofs.
Oh, yeah. The actual ones.
Yeah. The singing group that Richard was a part of. Mm-hmm. It's a real singing group that Yale has, and this is, like, the actual group that made an appearance in the show. They dress in suits like that. I know this because I watched The Sing-Off, which was an a cappella competition singing show. That's where Pentatonix came from.
Fast forward a little bit. Rory is desperately trying to get the paper out when Christopher and Lore show up with coffee and donuts for the staff to help them get through the night. They're still drunk and hungover. Bill is so hungover that, like, the phone ringing is, like, giving him a headache. Which, again, like, how much would you have had to drink to be, like, that hungover? Whatever. Chris apologizes to Rory for getting the staff drunk, and she says that she wasn't upset at dinner. She was just stressed, which is maybe, like, a white lie. Because she then mentions that both of them have dinner plans with Richard and Emily, because when she canceled on them, because she's got to work on this newspaper story, she may have accidentally mentioned that they were free for dinner.
Oops.
So Lorelai and Christopher are like, oh, you were mad. She's like, no. And then she shoos them off to go have dinner with the grandparents. And it's sort of like a sitcom-esque kind of ending.
Yeah.
I could just like definitely have seen this ending with like laughter and applause and like a still frame. So Stacey, did you think this was a good episode?
No. There's a lot of really nice moments, but it's very forgettable.
Yeah.
I kind of remember the swim coach thing. I predicted where the vegetable thing was going, so maybe I do remember that, or it was just predictable. But I sort of blocked out this whole parents weekend thing, and a lot of that was kind of just annoying and didn't make sense. Like, it didn't make sense that they were drunk. Lorelai was a lot. Christopher's story was kind of nice.
Yeah.
That he's realizing he wasn't there, and now he's, like, trying to make up for it, but goes way too hard. And
I mean, I feel like he knew he wasn't there. He just doesn't sit in that guilt all the time.
Yes. He's not often presented with it. I mean, that's probably why he went in the first place, because he feels guilty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, overall not that great, even though it did have some really nice moments throughout. The main story wasn't very good.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
So I agree. There was, like, little pieces of the episode that I really enjoyed. I've said this about 12 times now, but I really liked Luke and April. All of their scenes together really struck a chord for me.
Yeah.
But it did feel like an episode of like half-baked storylines. The Suki storyline was like so quick, it didn't go anywhere. The Rory staff getting drunk was fine. It was like, wait, what is this? And the date with Luke, I was like, there's so much you could have done with this. Like, I would have been fun to see this whole date.
Yeah. She was just a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that was the point. But she seemed, like, crazy from the get-go.
Oh,
I wonder if he was just like, I gotta date someone, and, like, knew it wasn't gonna go well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think it wasn't like she was crazy enough that it was funny.
Yeah, exactly. It was just enough to let us know she was crazy, not crazy in a way that's like, oh, this is, like, entertaining television.
Right.
Also, Lorelai was a lot, and, like, it was sort of annoying, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that because, like, the dialogue so often has been good. And you talked about how some people say that the writing this season is different and they can feel it. And I have to say, like, Lorelai is a lot. And I don't know if it's just because she's with Christopher now and that's just, like, brings out a different side of her or if it's just the writing. But, like, sometimes I'm like, can you cut the jokes in half? You can do half of them.
Yeah. It's interesting because, I mean, Amy was the main writer and showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was still a group of writers.
Yes.
Writing. And I think it probably is a lot of the same writers still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like it's lost its magic.
No. At this point, the show's so established, it's easy to write for characters once you know them as well.
They've just, like, tweaked Lorelai in a way that I'm like, she's kind of grating sometimes. In a way that I rarely felt in previous seasons. Occasionally, she was a bit much.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Just a little bit here and there. But, like, I feel like this season, like, I've regularly been like, calm down. So I would say, it had some really good moments, but I don't know that I would say it was a great episode.
Yeah, it wouldn't be high on my rewatch list.
Yeah. And now for a special segment we like to call Meanwhile Uncharmed.
Charmed was another popular WB show airing around the same time that neither of us have seen.
But we're discussing it anyway.
Based only on its IMDb summaries. Brian, what happened on Charmed?
Meanwhile, in Charmed Season 7, Episode 6, Once in a Blue Moon.
Your favorite phrase.
Yeah, I know. A new threat from a completely unexpected front is attacking innocence when a blue moon occurs. Phoebe also finds new feelings for Leslie just when he has to leave. Okay, do we know Leslie?
No.
Okay, good.
Not even a little bit.
Good. It's sad that Leslie has to go.
I know, we just met him. What's a blue moon?
Yeah, I don't know.
Blue moon is. I think it's an extra, like, when there's 13 full moon.
Right, I think it's when it just so, because, you know, dates and the moon cycle isn't 100% accurate with months. And I think it's when you get two moons in a month.
Yes, I think you're correct.
Two full moons. But I'm guessing in Charmed, it's like a some other bullshit.
Well, yeah, it's in Charmed when a blue moon happens, it means a new witch is made.
Yep. And the way that happens is a moon shows up and it does a bunch of off color jokes.
Oh.
And blue jokes. Mm-hmm. And right. That makes a witch.
Yeah.
We have a new character of Leslie who shows up, and he's a guy who works at the bar, P3.
Yes.
He's, like, kind of cool, but at some point he just, you know, he showed up last episode. We didn't talk about him.
No.
But it took about, like, 1 week with the girls before he's like, you know what, I don't need any, like, every day seems pretty crazy for you guys, so maybe I just need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But as he's leaving, he starts doing it in, like, slow motion and, like, music plays, and Phoebe's all like, oh my god, I'm super attracted to this guy.
Just when he has to leave. She realizes.
But they didn't even check this one front.
It's totally unexpected front.
Yeah. The left.
And the unexpected front is the new witch.
Yeah.
Caused by the blue moon.
There's a rival club, which we haven't mentioned.
Club?
Yeah.
Like group of witches?
No, like.
Oh, like P3. Gotcha.
Like P3, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called T2. It's very Terminator themed.
Yeah, it's just two people, and Tammy and Tasha.
Tasha and their sister Tabitha's dead.
But Tammy has become a witch.
Yeah, and so she goes over there and starts causing all kinds of havoc and, like, casting spells. This is when Leslie's like, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to clock out and call it a lifetime here. Like, mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm going to quit. It's like day three for me, and it's like already there's magic happening again.
Like, T2 was a bit of competition. Like, they had some good drink specials, and they had, yes, like, a killer karaoke night. But, like, really, mm-hmm. P3 was, like, the better bar.
It was.
But now that they also have a witch, it's like, are they going to be a better bar?
Yeah. So the witch comes over, causes some mayhem, then goes back to their bar. They are able to, like, cast her out, but she's still over at T2.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, the episode ends with her being like, I'm going to make T2 the best bar club in the world. And her sister's like, cool, it'd be cool if I was a witch. And she's like, yeah, but you're not. So.
No. Sorry, Tasha. It'd
be cool if Tabitha was alive too, but we don't get everything we want.
No. And then you can't always get what you want, please. While Leslie is walking away.
Yes.
It's a beautiful montage of
it is.
Phoebe I not cried. Being able to get what she wants, Tasha not being able to get what she wants.
Yeah.
Not a bad episode, really.
One of the better ones.
Mm-hmm. For season 7, anyway.
Anyway.
This has been
Meanwhile Uncharmed.
Then we watched Buffy. This is an interesting one. Stacey, please tell us all about him.
Whom?
Him.
Oh, him. The episode.
Yeah, that's the one.
Him is about a boy at the school with a jacket that makes all the ladies fall in love with him.
It's weird, though, because I don't know if it really does that. Like, he wears it a lot. And some women do fall madly in love with him, but it doesn't seem like every woman at the school does.
Yeah, we can maybe talk about it at the end. It's unclear what's happening here exactly, but it causes a whole lot of trouble for the Summers sisters and the other women in their lives. So Spike is moving into Xander's. As you may recall, Buffy was like, Spike, you can't live in this basement. It's making you crazy. And it seems as if their solution is to have him move in with Xander. I guess he can't live with Buffy. I was like, can he live in Buffy's basement? But maybe they're worried about what he'll do to Buffy, because everyone is still worried about that.
Well, Buffy also says to him in a previous episode that she thinks it's worse when she's there.
Yes.
So I think that she's like, you can't be around me for reasons because of our relationship, but also because I might be making it worse. Also, I don't know that I want you around Dawn.
It's weird that they're not addressing that he has his own damn house, though. Like, is that gone now?
Yeah. Why can't he stay at his crypt?
Clem said that a place like that probably would get squatters eventually, but it seemed like Clem was just holding down the fort.
Yeah. Or Buffy and Spike could probably clear it out pretty easy.
Maybe they don't want him to be alone? I'm not sure. Xander hates this. He's like, you're going to live in that small room over there. I know it looks like a closet, but it's a room now. Even Spike is like, yeah, this isn't going to work. And I don't need you to coddle me. And Buffy says that it's not coddling. And then there's this moment between them, sort of like, well, what is it then? And then Buffy feels uncomfortable and is like, go to your closet. And she leaves. The next day, Buffy and Dawn are eating lunch on the bleachers. Dawn asks Buffy why she is helping Spike. Does she love him? Buffy's like, no, but I feel for him. Then Dawn starts to babble about how she doesn't understand love or relationships in general. Buffy's like, yeah, okay, cool. Bye. Gotta go back to work. And then Dawn falls in love immediately.
Like, instantaneously.
The football team is finishing up practice, and she sees RJ, the quarterback, in his Letterman jacket, just dousing himself in some water after practice. Music starts playing. My first thought is, why did this guy who just got done sweating in the heat put on a jacket that makes no sense?
You said that out loud.
Turns out it's a huge part of the plot.
Yeah.
I know, you gave me eyes like, well, so I was like, oh, okay, it's the jacket. I mean, I figured out it's the jacket pretty early on. Xander suggests it's the jacket pretty early on, and nobody really listens to him. Did you guys think it was the jacket the first time you watched it? I just thought it was weird that this guy was wearing a jacket at this time. But me saying that sort of made you give me a clue that it was. After the credits, Buffy is in the middle of saving Anya from a demon. Seems like the Hoffrens decided he does want Anya to die, and he sent a demon after her.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't know why he would change his mind. I, like, forgot about this scene until I rewatched it.
Part of me wonders if he was worried Buffy would kill him. Because in the previous episode, he's all like, I'd be out of here faster than you could even come at me. But, like, part of me wonders if he's like, you have killed, like, demon gods before. So, like, maybe I don't need to, like, test my luck with that. Like,
I feel like he doesn't generally exist on Earth. I don't know. But it seems like maybe he lives on a different plane.
Sure, yeah. But I could see that's maybe why he didn't kill her right then.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to make sure I'm out of here before I send someone to kill Anya.
Sure. Well, Buffy just happened to be walking by and heard screaming, so that's why she's here. Anya doesn't want Buffy's help. She just wants to be left alone to figure her shit out. But Buffy reminds her that there's a bigger evil going on. And Anya's like, yeah, I guess you guys could probably use my help. Willow's not good at practical strategizing, except when she's evil. And Dawn's not really good for anything.
So funny.
It's like, yeah, she's not. Speaking of Dawn, she is working up the courage to approach her dream guy. We see him speaking with another jock and two cheerleaders. Both cheerleaders are familiar faces. One is an actress named Angela Serafia, who played Clementine in Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Ricky Lindholm, who plays a couple of roles in Gilmore Girls. She's most recently known as one of the two girls that, like, Logan is friends with. I don't know if we know her name or not. And then she's also in, like, season two when Luke and Lorelai go to lecture the class at Stars Hollow High and they're, like, all asking questions about her being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ricky Lindholm just injured her foot when a vending machine fell on her. So they're looking to replace her on the cheerleading squad.
Wait, so a vending machine fell on the character?
Yeah.
I wonder if that was suggested. I mean, I remember that now. I think it was played like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it was like some other jealous woman did that to her.
Oh, maybe. Because they say it later. Like, we see that her foot's broken and they're trying to replace her. And then, like, a few lines in, they casually drop that that's how it happened.
Right. I mean, there's also a million things in the Hellmouth that could have caused that, but I wonder if there wasn't an implied connection there that we didn't think about.
Yeah, because those don't just tip over generally. The other person in the group is O'Donnell. He's a real jerk. He thinks he should be starting quarterback, even though he's got brown hair and he's not as tall as RJ. That's how quarterbacks work.
Yeah.
And then Q Dawn. No one's excited to see her. RJ does acknowledge her, but the others basically just pretend she's not there, even though she's talking a lot.
We shit all over Dawn, and we should. But I just want to say, I've got nothing against Michelle Trachtenberg.
No, I think Michelle Trachtenberg is great.
At all. I just feel like sometimes the writing for Dawn makes you not love her. And that's not Michelle's fault.
No. I kind of don't buy that she's like a loser at school. Like, she's pretty.
Yeah.
I feel like she would do fine in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after she fully embarrasses herself, they all kind of just walk away. And Dawn decides that the way to RJ's heart is to become a cheerleader. So she goes home and digs Buffy's old uniform out of the basement and auditions.
Once again, season 7, referencing other seasons, because this is the cheerleader outfit she wore in
The
Witch.
It is the same one. I don't know if it's the exact same one, but it looks the same. They might have found one that fits Dawn.
I just love that about this season, that they're just like, let's use the whole Buffalo. Let's keep going back.
And Buffy is short for Buffalo.
Okay, that's funny.
Did Buffy stay a cheerleader? I can't remember what went down in that episode. She did make the squad, though.
She was a cheerleader for like 1 second.
So Dawn's auditioning. She is comically bad. Like, it looks like she's trying to do it bad. I know the actor is, but like, I'm just like, you couldn't do this any better, Dawn. She ends with her big fall move, but RJ doesn't seem impressed.
Not the season. Like, she falls.
Yes.
Now for a very autumn tumble.
Cut to Dawn, crying hysterically in the bathroom at home. Buffy's trying to comfort her, but she's not having it. Xander is over for a movie night. Guess the vampires have the night off, so Buffy's staying in.
Yeah.
Dawn comes out, and Buffy notices that her cheerleading uniform is all shredded up on the ground. Dawn goes to her room to cry. Xander and Buffy go to comfort her. And Dawn tells Buffy she'll buy her a new cheerleading outfit. Buffy's like, I don't want a new cheerleading outfit. And Xander says, now, let's not be hasty.
Oops. That's funny.
Not the right time.
He's single now, I guess. It's a little less
Yeah, he's back to trying to fuck Buffy this episode for sure.
I thought that was a funny line, though.
Buffy tries to tell Dawn that she'll get over this soon. Besides, she didn't even really know RJ. You just noticed him, like, yesterday. And then Xander says, it's the jacket. Something about the big letter on the chest makes girls get all swoony. Like Superman, like Christopher.
He doesn't say like Christopher, but yeah.
He doesn't say like Superman either. But it was interesting that both shows called out a letter on the chest.
Yeah. So Xander has done this before, where he makes predictions, like, kind of offhand, and then they end up being right.
Oh, yeah? What's an example?
He did that in Earshot, too.
He said it was Jonathan?
No, I think he said it was the lunch ladies.
Mm.
Because Buffy...
I guess it was the lunch
ladies. ...overheard someone saying, kill them all. And the lunch ladies were going to poison the food.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff she heard was from Jonathan. But, like, the lunch ladies were going to kill everybody.
Yeah. Lunch lady.
You're right. Also, Dawn has... I think Dawn just has a predilection for letter jackets. Because the last guy she was with in All the Way also wore a letter jacket.
Could be.
That's just... I mean, maybe Xander's right in that regard, too.
But Dawn insists that this is love and decides maybe she doesn't want advice from Buffy, who's never really been able to figure out her love life. The next day at school, O'Donnell comes up to RJ to let him know that he talked to the coach, and coach wants O'Donnell to start on Saturday. I wonder what happened there, like what he said to convince him.
I don't know.
So RJ's bummed. Dawn has overheard all this, and she goes after O'Donnell to give him a piece of her mind. And she ends up shoving him down the stairs. So she's got to go to the principal's office. Buffy's there too. Dawn's trying to lie and say he fell and that he's lying about being pushed. The principal, I guess, believes her. And he's going to have to tell the coach the bad news. And Dawn says, well, at least you've still got RJ to take over. And Buffy's like, wait a minute. She doesn't say that aloud, but she says it with her eyes. And there's an emphatic musical cue.
Yeah, yeah.
Dawn gets up to leave, forgetting her purse. But has it in the next shot.
Yeah, I know. It's super funny if you notice it. She just leaves her purse But that she's got it. It's another connection.
Yeah, we didn't mention it, but April, when Luke's packing her lunch and, like, the car outside is tooting for her to come get in, she, like, runs and gets in the car for getting her lunch, and she comes back for it.
Can we say honking? Tooting sounds.
Toot.
Toot toot.
April. Toot toot. Toot toot.
And, yeah, this is clearly an unintentional mistake in the show, but.
Yeah, and the Gilmore one was intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah, she leaves the bag, has it in the next scene. She's walking down the hallway when RJ comes up to her. What's up, RJ? He heard about what happened and thinks it's cool that Dawn faced Principal Wood. It almost kind of seems like he knows that she pushed O'Donnell down the stairs and is kind of thanking her for it.
Well, he also really hates the principal, which is important.
Yeah, but I don't know if we know that yet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This was a little unclear, but that's how I took it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asks if she wants to meet up later. So, RJ likes violent girls, I guess.
Wow, and all the women that are into him are violent, so he really...
That we see.
Any of them. Maybe the letter jacket only works on violent women.
I don't know if Broken Foot Girl is violent.
Yeah.
Cut to the Bronze. They've got a new digital sign. Have we noticed this before?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't noticed.
I feel like I've clocked a new sign, but maybe I'm thinking of a different venue or something. Buffy, Willow, and Xander are all hanging out, just like old times. Sounds like Spike is adjusting pretty well to life outside the hole. So they're talking, and then they notice Dawn's lover boy on the dance floor, dancing all sexy with some girl whose face they don't see. Xander lets his platonic female friends know that he's very turned on by this.
Oh, no. You know what's really funny is that this same thing happens in Eurotrip.
Really?
Yeah, there's a guy who's like seeing Michelle Trachtenberg like bend over and he's like, oh God, who's that? Oh, it's so hot. Oh my God, it's my friend, Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh, she's hot until you know it's Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah, that's her curse. Never wear a name tag, Michelle.
But it turns out that some girl is Dawn. Where were these moves at cheerleading tryouts, Dawn?
That's funny.
You can move your body. What was that about? Xander's now embarrassed that he made that comment, and Willow let Xander know that she too was turned on, but kept those thoughts to herself previously. Buffy's just horrified, because she wants to yell at Dawn, but she knows there are tapes of her doing the same shit in the same place a few years ago. But Buffy does yell at her, for lying about where she was going, for how she's dressed. She's got barely a shirt on. It's like doesn't go all the way down to the pants,
yeah.
Or the top. It's just like a rag in the middle. Dawn's like, shut up, you're not my mom. And Buffy's like, yeah, well, I'm glad mom's not here to see you like this. This makes things awkward because their mom is dead.
Yeah.
And then Dawn tries to say that Buffy's just jealous that she's not the one getting the attention from a boy right now. Buffy says that's not true. And Dawn ends up leaving and bumps into Clementine in the alley.
Which is not Clem, make it clear. That would have been fine. Clem would have been like, who's this hot ass? Oh, shit.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see Clem. We haven't seen him yet.
Yeah.
Clementine is pissed that Dawn's trying to get with RJ. They get into a whole hair-pulling fight. Was she even with him? He was carrying the books of the other girl in the earlier scene. I mean, I guess just they probably are both in love with him, too.
Yeah, I think so.
The other two cheerleaders?
I assume that's the idea. They seem like violent girls, so.
Buffy comes out and breaks us up. The next day at school, Principal Wood is telling RJ that maybe he should try doing his own homework instead of getting these young, impressionable women to do it for him. When he's done with the principal, Buffy calls him into her cubicle. She wants to talk to him about how he's been going around making girls fall in love with him. He insists he doesn't do it on purpose. He just gets along really well with girls. And then he starts putting his jacket on, and Buffy changes her tune a little bit.
A little bit?
She gets all flirty with him. A couple interesting things about the dialogue here. She mentions that there must be a lot of pressure on him being the captain of a football team.
Oh my God, the Michelle connection is real.
So she calls him captain, just like Michelle. She also starts to say that she only graduated like a couple years ago, so they're basically the same age. She's not older than him, really. Fun fact, this actor is 2 years older than her.
Wow.
Which makes him like 10 years older than Michelle Trachtenberg, who was probably 16 when they shot this.
Oh, wow.
Is that weird? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not weird because they don't do anything.
Right.
You know? So it's like you can.
Like Sarah Michelle Gellar is 25 when they shot this and James Marsters was 40. That's a way bigger age gap, but I guess she's like more of an adult.
Yeah, I feel like I don't feel the difference between them, really.
Yeah. But isn't that crazy that he's so old? I feel like he looks older than a high school kid, but not, like, that much older.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, that she's like, I'm not older than you, and she's not. I don't know if I've seen him in anything else. I tried to look him up a little bit, but he was in The Young and the Restless for, like, 20 years.
Oh.
Well, Buffy lets RJ know that she's got sexual experience, which is what every high school boy wants to hear from his sexy guidance counselor, I imagine.
Oh, God, this scene, man.
Buffy's definitely getting fired this season, right?
For sure. There's no way you keep a job after this.
She's done so many things wrong, and she's been doing this job like 2 episodes.
Oh, my God, this scene.
Later that night at home, Buffy needs to talk to Dawn. She tells him that she talked to RJ and found out that he really likes Dawn, but maybe thought she came on a little strong. So maybe Dawn should, like, lay low for a little bit, let RJ come to her. They'll work things out. Buffy's just looking out for her, after all. No, she is not. The next day at school, Buffy pulls RJ out of class and takes him into an abandoned classroom to fuck him?
Yeah.
She's like, tell me more about football.
Okay, this is the scene. This scene is... Sarah Michelle Gellar is very, very good at being seductive, okay? She just... I mean, she is. Can we just all admit that she's very good at it?
Everybody, admit it.
Oh, my God. It's a lot to watch.
She ends up, like, grabbing him and kissing him, and he's like, whoa, you're like a teacher. She's like, kinda, I guess, but does that bother you? And he's like, not at all. Let's do this. Meanwhile, Dawn's taking this not coming on too strong stuff super seriously. So she goes to Harriet the Spy on RJ in class, but he's not there. Did you like that, Brian?
Yeah, that's why I laughed. I wasn't reading a joke book.
Were you reading your joke book during the podcast again?
Yeah. Well, no, I chew gum and I read the jokes inside the wrapper. What a terrible podcasting practice. It's a good one.
So Dawn starts checking other classrooms for RJ. And we can tell by her reaction that she's found the right classroom. She runs outside where she bumps into Xander. He's like, what's wrong? Is this about that guy in the jacket? Dawn's like, ugh, I don't even want to hear his name anymore. And Xander's like, I just called him that guy in the jacket. She's like, well, that's what I used to call him in my head before I knew his real name. Which was funny. Like a 5-minute period of time, by the way. She approached him knowing his name the same day that she noticed him.
To be fair, he doesn't have much of a name.
No.
It's just 2 letters smashed together.
Xander doesn't know how to handle female emotions, so he offers to go find Buffy. And Dawn's like, no, I don't ever want to see her again. So Xander goes to find Buffy. Apparently Dawn told him where to find them, but not what they were doing, because he's certainly startled. I don't know if the sex has begun yet. There's a lot of clothes on still, but Buffy's just, like, straddling him on a table.
I mean,
shoes off.
Buffy's done some straddling with clothes on, and sex has still happened.
Yeah, do you think they got that far?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think... I think it's implied that they did not, but, like, there's no reason they wouldn't have.
I would guess it's implied that they didn't, just because that could really get her into trouble if he's not 18. Yeah. Even if he is 18.
Yeah. And then that would put her character in a weird moral place. And they don't talk about that. So I think we're supposed to believe that they have not had sex.
Well, she does try to murder an innocent human this episode, too.
That's true.
Buffy's like, hey, Xander, this is RJ. RJ's like, hey, bro, it's called nogging. Xander's like, I'm sorry. It's just checkout time was an hour ago. We were hoping to make up the bed.
Xander has some good lines in this one.
Yeah. Seriously, you guys don't get courtesy knocks when you fuck in a classroom with multiple windows.
I know, like, what?
Like, you can see through the door. There's no privacy.
Do you know how many times I've knocked on a door in a school? Never. Like, what are you talking about? Or maybe that's what he thinks sex is called. It's called knocking, baby. We're knocking.
Is that in your joke
knocking
book?
Knocking boots.
Yeah. So Xander takes Buffy home where Dawn is crying. Nothing new, but... it's about this.
That would have been the case no matter what the episode was about.
Yeah. Willow and Anya are there too. They're all trying to convince Buffy and Dawn that they must be under a love spell. And Buffy's like, yeah, Dawn, you must be under a love spell. It is real. You're just crazy.
It's funny because it's a lot like Something Blue where Buffy is like, oh no, everyone's under like spells. And it's like, yeah, also you, Buffy.
Yeah. She's just like incapable of realizing it's affecting her too.
Right.
They get into a whole fight. Dawn feels very betrayed. Cut to the sober three trying to get to the bottom of this. Willow says that people have forgotten how dangerous love spells can be. And Xander's like, hey, we've been there. And then we see a clip from Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
Where they're all going to, like, kill Xander. But then he's, like, wistfully remembering this.
Yeah. Just see, like, every woman in Sunnydale mobbing Xander. We never get old clips.
Yeah, that is true. We rarely
ever get
those.
That's, like, not
those.
A trick that they do.
Yeah.
But when it cuts back to Xander, like you said, he's just, like, happily remembering this. Like, there's a cartoon thought bubble above his head. Willow's come up with some stuff on RJ on the internet. And Xander remembers his brother, Lance, who was a couple years older than them in high school. So he takes Spike to go talk to him. Lance was also a big jock, and he bullied Xander, but now he's a pizza boy. This is a weird interaction. Like, we skip a lot of the conversation and basically cut ahead to Lance asking Xander how RJ's doing. Like, what does Lance think Xander's relationship is with RJ? Did Xander call ahead and say what this was about?
Right.
Like, the more time we spend with Lance, the more desperate he seems for companionship, but I kind of don't buy he would just, like, invite a random kid from high school and his vampire friend in for beers.
Yeah.
Well, Lance tells him that RJ used to be a total geek, writing poetry and shit. Spike looks mildly offended at this comment.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Spike, by the way, is walking around looking at photos and trinkets and notices that RJ and Lance are wearing the same jacket in their football photos. Turns out Lance gave RJ his jacket after he graduated, and it was actually their dad's jacket who used it to win over their formerly hot mom.
Who's calling her formerly hot?
That's what he said. He was like, she was very hot in her day.
Oh, okay. Thought you were just being judgy.
Xander's like, great, we should go. Lance tries to get them to stay with just a thrilling description of his rumpus room. But then, who I'm guessing is Lance's mom calls down, asking if he has friends over, offering them little boxes of raisins. So, it must be implied that Lance lives with his mother.
Right.
So this must also be RJ's house.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why is
unless the parents are divorced.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, they don't say that, but I mean, that's something I could make up that might make sense.
Why is he asking Xander how RJ is if they live together?
Yeah, that's weird.
I also have problems with this jacket lineage. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I guess you could pass on a Letterman jacket. It's just clothing, but kind of the point of one is that it's yours with your name on it and the year you graduate. And the letters and stuff that you earn.
While I agree with you that normally that wouldn't make sense, this is a magical jacket. And it's unclear to us whether or not these kids know the jacket is magic.
I don't think they do.
I agree with you. I don't think that they do. But I do think that they may believe that it's lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he maybe gave it to his brother like, hey, this brought me a bunch of luck. It's luck, not knowing it's magic. And his brother wore it thinking it's lucky. That's not crazy to me.
But you'd think after Lance achieved pizza boy status, he'd be like, hey, maybe I could get that jacket back.
I would agree with you unless you like, you know, you think it's lucky, but you don't 100% believe it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's weird to be an adult with a Letterman jacket.
True.
This jacket, though, has such a big effect on women. You know what I mean? Like such a strong effect that I feel like there's no way you could have this jacket for like a semester without realizing it's having like powerful love effects on women.
Yeah. It would be like Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered eventually.
Because the women get so obsessed. It's not like mildly like, hey, I kind of like that guy, you know? It's like, I would die for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would kill for this guy.
It doesn't make sense that not everyone in the school is mobbing him, like in
exactly.
the Xander episode.
Exactly. I think it would be better if it was just like, yeah, girls have crushes on him. They're not going to, you know, kill someone for that crush, but they all have crushes. That I could see you not realizing.
Or even like if it's just when he's in their presence.
Sure. Or like if he puts it on in front of them or something like that.
Yeah. Did people wear jackets like this at your school?
No, they did not.
My brother had one. I think they were popular when he was in high school. He's much older than me. He graduated in like 93.
So much shorter, though. It's weird.
It's not true. When I was in high school, people got them sometimes, but it was like kind of the dorks that did it.
I got a letter.
Yeah. I have a whole box full of letters that could go on a jacket. I was
right.
actually just home. I wish I would have thought to look for them. But I feel like the people that had, like, music and academic letters would get them. That's, like, the ones I have a band, a choir, and an academic letter. But I wasn't wearing a jacket about it.
Right.
But you said you have one, too?
Yeah, I do.
What's yours for?
Football, I think.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, in my school, I feel like you had to play, like, varsity football to letter.
I guess maybe it could have been soccer.
Okay. You played varsity soccer?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't play varsity football, but I did play varsity soccer.
That's probably why.
Yeah. I guess I don't remember, honestly. So, because it meant nothing to me. So.
I wonder if these are still a thing. Because, like, I feel like it was barely a thing when I was in high school. Like, what's the point of getting the letters if you're not getting the jacket? I guess you could hang them up and...
I mean, you could put them on a different jacket.
Yeah, I had mine on, like, a cork board in my room. Well, let us know about your letters and jacket experiences at your schools. But yeah, I think they've sort of faded away since, like, decades ago.
Yeah.
Gen Z, let us know how you feel about letter jackets. Willow and Anya still aren't having any luck figuring out what kind of spell this might be when there's a knock at the door. It's RJ looking for Buffy.
I mean, it makes sense, man.
Willow's like, Buffy's not here. Go away. Anya adds, no Buffy for you. Leave quickly now. He leaves, but as he walks away, the music starts playing. And even gay little Willow is a smitten kitten for RJ.
Uh-oh.
Cut to Willow and Anya arguing over him. Anya doesn't even get his name right, but insists she saw into his soul. Buffy and Dawn come down. They're all fighting about him. They're like, Willow, you're gay, and he has a penis. She's like, I can work around it. Buffy's like, oh, I get it. You two have been affected by the same spell that's affecting Dawn.
I like this running bit, by the way. I think it's fun because it would, you know, if you're under a spell, you would not be able to understand you're under a spell. So I like that they're consistent about that.
Yeah. So they all set out to prove who loves him the most. Buffy's gonna kill the principal for him since he hates the principal. I guess the spells made her forget she doesn't kill humans.
Right.
Willow's gonna use magic to turn him into a girl. Anya's off to rob a bank for some reason. Okay.
Okay.
Just a little train pulled into the station.
Yeah.
And Dawn, as Anya said earlier, isn't really good for anything. So she decides to just lay down on some train tracks and die.
Yep.
And then we get like a four-way split screen with like 70s, 80s cop show music.
Yeah, or like Charlie's Angels kind of thing. Like,
yeah, it's super stylized.
Yeah, like 70s almost. I don't know. It's crazy.
We see them all doing their various things. Anya's got a ski mask. Buffy's got like a bazooka. Why?
This is the same bazooka that she used on the judge.
It's just like excessive. She could like snap dude's neck. I guess.
Yeah, I know.
It's not as stealthy.
Right. Well, this isn't stealthy either. But I think it just shows how crazy she is right now. But I also like that they're bringing back this missile launcher from season two.
Yeah. And Willow starts doing a spell when she's interrupted by Xander and Spike. He's like, what the heck are you doing? She explains that they're all trying to prove who loves RJ the most. Like, well, Buffy's going to kill Principal Wood. Xander's like, okay, fine. Let's start there. Yeah. Principal Wood is working late, bro.
Yeah.
You need some better work-life balance, baby.
Calling him baby now. You guys are close. I mean, the guy's got a lot going on.
What, though?
I mean, he's the principal of a school on top of a hellmouth.
Mm-hmm. Does he know that?
Does he know that? Well, I don't know if he knows that. All I know is that he made Buffy the guidance counselor, and she has zero experience, and she should be fired.
Yeah. Speaking of which, behind him in the window, we see Buffy about to shoot. This is all, like, very blurry in the background. He's just, like, rocking out with some light jazz. And by rocking out, I mean writing notes. But Spike comes in, tackles Buffy. They go back and forth, fighting for a bit.
This is all in the background of the shot, too. Yeah. We're having this, like, peaceful music, like you said. It's really funny.
He gets her bazooka away from her.
And then it's just running with the bazooka.
Principal Wood, like, maybe kind of hears some of the commotion, but doesn't really investigate and goes back to work. So Buffy chases Spike back to where Willow and Xander are. Xander's brought Willow to do a location spell to find Dawn. They drive to where Dawn is. Buffy's like, you realize Anya's probably seducing RJ right now. She's recently evil, you know. And Willow's like, well, so am I. Why should I miss out? Xander's like, hey, crazy chicks, look. And he points to Dawn on the tracks. A train is coming, and he's just standing there pointing. Shouldn't he hear Spike, like, start running towards Dawn instead of just pointing and waiting for Buffy to do it?
Well, I don't think either of them are fast enough, quite honestly.
Sure, but wouldn't your instincts be to try?
Yes, I agree.
Like, yeah. The lack of urgency almost doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Maybe he's like, let's just kill Dawn. I was turned on by her earlier. Things are getting complicated.
I think Spike could do it.
Maybe.
Angel's freaking fast.
Yeah.
He can, like, teleport, essentially. I would almost argue that the vampires are faster than Buffy.
No.
No?
No.
She might be stronger, but we don't see Buffy, like, teleport like we see Angel sometimes.
Okay, we need to clarify that Angel does not teleport.
I'm exaggerating when I say teleport, but I feel like they've made him go from point A to point B unusually fast occasionally.
I agree.
But I would haven't also seen Buffy do that.
I would also argue that Angel probably has a lot of experience over his, like, 200-year lifespan of, like, parkour and, like, learning how to move quickly. Like, but I think if he were just, like, we're running, Buffy would beat a vampire every time.
Sure. Okay.
Well, a normal vampire, anyway.
Spike should be trying. He's got a soul, and he's fast.
Like I said, a normal vampire she could outrun.
Is Spike not a normal vampire?
No, Spike's a normal vampire. We've only ever seen normal vampires.
Something's happening here.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just saying that if it was just like a regular vampire, she should be able to outrun it. Maybe not, like, I don't know, special vampire.
Stop saying things.
I'm talking hypothetically.
Okay.
Some kind of like Uber vampire might be able to outrun her. I don't know.
He's going to be an Uber driver?
Like, you know, a vampire that's got a car can go faster than her.
This one is off the rails. Speaking of which, the trains are coming.
Get her off the rails.
Buffy starts running. Trains are coming from both directions. Dawn is on the right side, so Buffy jumps onto the train that's coming from the left side to get to her faster. And then she jumps down onto the right one and pulls her off the tracks just in time. Buffy's like, what the hell are you doing? And Dawn's like, how am I supposed to compete with you? You're older and hotter and have sex that's rough and kill people. It's just a funny line in a very dramatic moment.
Yeah.
So she thought that this way, RJ would know for his whole life that someone loved him so much that they gave up their life for him. I don't know. That might kind of traumatize the dude, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some crazy lady that, like, he didn't know at all, he danced with one time, killed herself for him. That would mess with you, I think.
Yeah.
Buffy's like, no, I'd totally give him to you if it means that much to you. Wait, would I? He's pretty hot. She finally admits that she might be under a little bit of a spell. And then we get a real quick scene with Xander and Spike spying on RJ on a date with Ricky Lindholm downtown.
Okay.
Xander's like, now you sure you understand the plan? And Spike, very serious, is like, I think I got it. Yeah. And then they just run up to RJ. Xander grabs him by the waist and Spike rips off his jacket. They may well have just, like, pantsed him while they were at it.
Yeah, they just run away. It's like a child's plan.
It worked.
Yep.
They take the jacket back to the summit res and burn it in the fireplace. Buffy asks Xander if he's considered trying on the jacket. And he says he refuses to answer that on the grounds that it didn't fit. So he would have loved to, it seems.
Yeah, Xander's like, I only wear clothes that are, like, 4 times too big for me since season 5. So
that's the reason.
This fit normally, so I couldn't wear it.
I bet he learned his lesson from his own love spell.
Yeah.
All the ladies are experiencing various regret for how they acted and what they almost did for RJ. Now, we saw what Anya was going to do, but none of them actually know what she did. They ask her, and she lies and says she wrote an epic poem. But then over the radio, we hear that a late-night masked bandit who held up a number of somethings is still at large. And she switches off the radio and pitches ice cream.
She's like, my treat, because she's got a ton of money now.
So she did it, right? Like,
yeah.
She's got a ton of money? Is that a plot?
Yeah, I don't think we ever circle back to the fact that she's got a bunch of money. Maybe we do, if I don't remember, but it's just, like, funny. She just robbed a bunch of banks.
So that's the end of the episode, but one last thought, I guess. We had this question in the Xander Love Spell episode, but does it just not work on men?
I think that's the idea, yeah.
Would it work on a gay man?
That's a good question, but I would imagine that whoever put this spell on was, like, a heterosexual guy who was like, I want women to be attracted to me.
I don't remember where Larry was at in his journey in the other episode.
I wouldn't be surprised if the person who put the spell on it wasn't even more specific. Like, I want women who I would be attracted to be attracted to me when I put this on.
Oh, maybe.
So whoever wears it, any woman that he would find attractive would be attracted to him.
Yeah.
That would kind of at least limit a little bit why not, like, every woman in the world's not trying to tear him apart.
Yeah, like why we don't see the lunch lady trying to have sex with him.
Right, and then that would explain why, like, gay men might not be attracted to you or other men, just because it's, like, a very specific spell. We never see how it's created or anything, so, I mean, I'm just making this up, but that would justify some of it.
Yeah. Well, was this a good episode?
Yeah, I think so. It was a silly one, but I liked it. I mean, it's once again using stuff from previous seasons to comedic effect. It did some fun style stuff when it did, like, the split screen at the end.
There's a lot of music in it.
Yeah.
They use music a lot, like music with lyrics.
Very funny. I had a lot of funny lines. in any episode that's got Sarah Michelle Gellar like doing that like lip biting come hither attitude, I'll watch again.
Her hair was really cute in this episode. She had like light fluffy bangs.
Well, what did you think?
No, I liked it. It was really funny. I feel like after we watched it at first, I didn't like it that much. I mean, it's just a lot of Dawn whining, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, I don't know, that's come to be expected, but a lot of it is her being like, I love him so much.
Yeah.
But once, like, Buffy is under the spell, too, and especially also Willow and Anya, there's so much humor in the episode.
Yeah. That scene with Principal Wood just, like, not noticing Buffy and Spike wrestling over a bazooka in the background.
Yeah.
It's so absurdly funny.
There's a lot of, like, fun, just, like, stylized choices. Like, that shot and the four-way split screen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good Xander jokes. It's actually kind of a good Xander episode. He's the one that saves the day.
Yeah.
Like, Spike is there, but he's kind of just puppeting Spike.
And he saves the day in a way that is realistic.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, yeah, I just am not affected by the spell, so that I'm just the only rational one here right now.
He's just, like, wrangling these obsessed women.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a fun one. Like I said, initially I felt like, this is kind of whatever. I don't care about Dawn falling in love with this guy, but it became fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's some flaws with it, but I would say overall.
For sure.
It's good.
So now we have to ask, which episode was better?
I think Buffy.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not like an amazing Buffy, but it wasn't a very good Gilmore.
Agreed. It was one of the times where Buffy was just had more jokes that hit than Gilmore did. I'm just going to agree with you.
Cool. Well,
if you guys want to watch along next week, we'll be watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 7, Episode 7, Conversations with Dead People.
As well as Gilmore Girls Season 7, Episode 7, French Twist.
In the meantime, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes discussed in this podcast. Like, what do you think the origins of the jacket were?
What was your relationship with letter jackets in high school?
Do you think Rory should have told her mom that her grandparents were going to be at Yale?
Do you think it's weird that Emily and Richard go to parents' weekend? Let us know. You can reach out by following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Gilmore Slayer, where we post interactive questions, comedy sketches based on each episode, and more.
Or send us an email at brianandstacyreviews@gmail.com. That's Brian with a Y and Stacy with an EY.
For more bonus content, find us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Brian and Stacy, where we post weekly video recaps of the show Angel, host monthly live stream watch parties, post monthly podcast outtakes, and share early extended episode previews. And shout out to all of our new Patreon subscribers, Tiffany Seifert, Dylan Drew, and Jordan Andrews.
Thanks so much. For more non-podcast content, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, also called Brian and Stacy.
If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by making a donation of your choosing by the link found at the bottom of our episode description or in our social media bios.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll give you a shout-out in an upcoming podcast.
Or another place, if there is one.
Let's go watch the next one.
I know, you seem excited about the next one.
It's whatever, it's not that big of a deal. Let's watch it.
I will say this is an episode of Gilmore Girls people do not like.
Ooh, I am interested to see what people think, especially me.
I'm interested to see what you think.
Cool.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys. Bye.